Well, I'll let you remain seated while we read Psalm 103. How's that? This is the text for this morning's message from Pastor Peoples. Give heed to the word of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant. And to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The word of the Lord. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, as Pastor Peoples comes to open your word for us this morning, our prayer would be that through the Holy Spirit, you would empower him in such a way that the words he brings to us this morning would be Christ's words to this, his congregation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All of us probably have favorite psalms, psalms that we love, that we have become attached to, some for as long as we can remember. One of my early memories is reading the 23rd Psalm to my little sisters and my brother when I was pretty young. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills to see where my help comes from. It comes from the Lord. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And you can think of your favorite psalm. Probably for most of us, it's very difficult to narrow it down to just one that we really like. Because the psalms that really speak to us are the psalms that bring us comfort, they bring us encouragement, they speak to our souls. They remind us of God's love and of his mercy. Certainly for me, Psalm 103 is one of my favorites, and I hope that it's one of yours, and if it isn't, that after today, it will be. Here's a psalm that talks to us about God's compassion, his compassionate love. It tells us about God's concern for his people. And here, as David begins this psalm, David says to himself, verses 1 and 2, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, David doesn't give us the context of the psalm. We don't really know what's going on in his life. Sometimes with the psalms, the Lord tells us what's really happening, but here we don't know. But notice what David does. He begins by calling himself to bless the Lord. He calls himself to put his faith and his confidence in the Lord and in the Lord's work in his life. It would seem that David might be going through a difficult time. It might be that he's discouraged or overwhelmed. David was a king. He had to make major decisions. Maybe he's struggling with the decision he has to make. Or maybe he just learned of a plot against his life and he's thinking about his mortality. Maybe the paparazzi are just too much for him and he's overwhelmed by the people following him around as king. It could be that he's just spiritually discouraged. Maybe he feels that God is far away. That things aren't really going the way he wants them to. Maybe he has relationship trouble. Maybe one of his wives is mad at him. Maybe all of his wives are mad at him. Can you imagine that? Which is impossible, you know, Bathsheba. You know, David, you're going to have to do something about your son Solomon. I don't know what to do with him. You are going to have to deal with him. All he does is read. He just reads and reads and reads and reads. He never goes out to play. I think he's a little weird. And I'm concerned he's not going to get along with other kids. You got to go out. You got to grab a football. You got to go out and play with him. You got to do something. I'm just kind of concerned about Solomon. Whatever it is, we don't know. But here David calls himself to bless the Lord. And my guess is, no matter how old or how young you are, you talk to yourself. You may not want to admit it. As we get older and older, it becomes harder and harder to hide. We often have conversations with ourselves that are out loud, and people don't want to interrupt this conversation that we're having with ourselves. But we all talk to ourselves. Sometimes even Christian people say things that you would never say to another person. But you say them to yourselves. Here David doesn't do that. Here David gets it right. He calls his own soul to bless the Lord. He recalibrates his heart, his life, his focus, so that he will now think about what God has done and not to forget all his benefits. Maybe he's just discouraged. We don't really know. But whatever he's struggling with, he calls himself back to put his faith, his confidence, his hope in the Lord. And by doing so, he gives us a model of how we can approach our own struggles, our own difficulties, the times when we feel overwhelmed. David calls his soul to bless the Lord. Praising God is really good. It's a wonderful thing. The danger with praising God is sometimes we can do it on the outside, but our hearts are far away from God. We can just look good. We can go through the motions. We can give everybody else the impression that everything is just fine. I think it's harder to do with blessing the Lord. The word means to bend the knee, if you will, to bow in worship. And here for David, there is nothing superficial about this process. There is nothing that's just on the surface that he is doing. This is coming from the depth of his heart to bless the Lord, to think about all of God's benefits. There's a sense in which David might be going back to the basics. If you know that great football coach, Vince Lombardi, from a long time ago, when he took the Green Bay Packers predominantly losing team, and he decided to take him back to the basics and that famous line, "Gentlemen, this is a football." That's going back to the basics. But that's what David does. He does not want to forget all of God's benefits. He wants to remember, what does it mean for me personally to walk with the Lord? What does it mean for me to have my faith in the living God? How does this transform the way that I think, the way that I live, the way that I view my life, the way that I view my relationships? How does God inform me through his benefits and blessings? There's a sense in which verse 13 is a kind of a high point in this psalm. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. David focuses on the compassion of God, the compassionate love of God. In verse 4, the word chesed is the Hebrew word that means God's steadfast, constant love, his covenant love. And here, David remembers the love of God. He remembers what it means that God has loved him. He remembers his compassion. And if you notice the way through this psalm, by the end of the psalm, what David does has been successful for him in recalibrating his life. The Lord has used his remembrance to bring David back so that he not only praises the Lord, but he calls others to do it as well. But notice where David starts. He doesn't start with something small and build up to something big. He starts with David's critical need. David starts with his critical need for what God has done. He remembers that the Lord's compassionate love is forgiving. Look at verse 3. Speaking in verse 2 and 3. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." The word for iniquity is a word to bend or to twist. And so often we take God's good gifts and we bend them or we twist them. We take something and we pervert it. Here David doesn't minimize his sin. He doesn't ignore his sin. He doesn't justify his sin. He doesn't pretend that he hasn't sinned. He recognizes right out of the gate, if you will, that God is the one who forgives all our sin, all our iniquity. God is the one who does it. He takes it away. David is the greatest man in his kingdom. There's nobody higher in Israel than David. But David recognizes that he's just a man, that he's a fallen man, and that he needs God's forgiveness, his mercy, and his love. He recognizes that God ultimately is the only one who can really truly forgive him. He sees that God's compassionate love is forgiving. And as you look at these verses, notice what David remembers. He remembers that God forgives our sin. He remembers that it's the Lord who purchases our forgiveness. He remembers that it's the Lord himself who blesses us with good things. It's possible that David meditated on each one of these areas. It may have taken David a long time to really get through this psalm, because he would stop and reflect on what that means specifically for him. Verse 3, the Lord forgives all our iniquity. You know, when you clean stuff out of your computer, often there are little traces that are left behind somewhere in there. The Lord takes our sin completely away from us. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgression from us. Really, the picture in the original, in the Hebrew, is the idea is farther to the east than farther to the west. So far. If you can go all the way to the east, as far as you could go to the east, and then go a little bit farther, and then you mark that spot, and then you go all the way to the west, as far as you can go to the west, and then you go a little bit farther, then you mark that spot. That's how far God removes our sin from us. As Christian people, we should really never get over that. That is so amazing that God's forgiveness is so complete. He takes it all away from us. David goes on and he says, recognizing that God's justice demands payment and it's God who pays. He says in verse 4 that the Lord is the one who redeems your life from the pit. Derek Kidner sees that as a picture of the pit of hell. I think he's really right. That David and all of us who put our faith in the living God, God is the one who purchases us back. He's the one who redeems us from the pit of hell. See, in the Old Testament, the sacrificial system was a reminder again and again and again of the sin and the reality of the sin of God's people and our need for a substitute. Because they would bring a lamb and they would put their hands on the lamb and the lamb would be slain in place of them. And they would be reminded morning and night as the sacrifice for the community would go up 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., they would be reminded of their sin. And here, David remembers the reality of his sin. And then in Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8, David recognizes that it's the blood of bulls and goats. They will never take away sin. That there's something more that's required. He understands that. For us as Christians, we have the privilege to look back on this psalm and see what David looked forward to, that David did not know completely that Christ would come and give his life as a ransom, that he would become the Lamb of God, that he would take away the sin of the world, and that the sacrificial system ultimately pointed to Christ. And so David can see that it's God himself who redeems our life, who buys us back from the pit, though he sees it through the sacrificial system and knows that God will provide a way because he recognizes that the sacrificial system is not an end in and of itself. So for us as God's people, when we come to the Lord, we recognize that he is the one who truly forgives all of our iniquity. But then notice verse 6, and literally it's Yahweh does righteousness, or he performs righteousness. Love the story that Josiah Bancroft told years ago. Before he got married, he was not good at balancing his checkbook. Some of us have been known to be somewhat guilty of that ourselves. To just kind of figure, you know, as long as I have checks, I have money, and I'll be okay, and she's not really keeping track very well, and Josiah Bancroft was one who had trouble with that. And his wife, as they got married, found out how abysmal he was at keeping his checkbook. Maybe some of us have bounced checks before. We recognize that we say that we have money in our checking account when in reality we don't, and we think that there's money there that isn't there. Well, imagine that you ran up a huge bill writing checks for money that you didn't have. Or you can think about credit cards and credit card debt. And imagine a credit card company or a bank erasing all of that debt. What a wonderful gift that would be. Now let me ask you, how much money do you now have in your checking account? Were that the case for you? You have nothing. You don't owe anything, but you have nothing. It's the Lord Himself, Yahweh, who does or accomplishes or performs righteousness. He is the one who gives righteousness to His people. Here, David uses the illustration of Moses and the Israelites and the picture of God rescuing them from Egypt, if you will, and that God cares for all the oppressed. Verse 6 and following, the Lord works or does righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is the one who rescued them. The Lord is the one who performed mighty miracles. The Lord is the one who did this great work. But notice, too, that as we reflect on who God is and what He's done for us, it's good for us to remember it's the Lord who gives us righteousness. We often think about the forgiveness that we receive in Christ, which is something we'll never earn or deserve. But sometimes we don't remember that we are given the righteousness of Christ. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That there's a great exchange. Jesus takes our sin and He gives us His righteousness. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Our account as believers is never at zero. It's at the infinite righteousness of Christ that the Lord has given us the gift of His righteousness. And for us, as we recognize our need for Christ, we look at our own lives and we realize, I have fallen short of God's perfect standard. We remember that we have failed to be perfect people. That if we're honest, we may try hard, but none of us are perfect. And here the Lord reminds us through David that it's His righteousness, His care for the oppressed, His purchasing of us through Christ that gives us righteousness, that it's Christ's work on the cross for us. David moves from there to recognize the Lord's compassionate love is merciful. He sees that God is a merciful, loving God. Look at verses 8 to 16. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. David remembers the Lord is slow to anger. The Lord lets go of His just wrath. The Lord is full of overflowing love. The Lord knows our weaknesses. I want you to notice, David focuses on what God has done for him. David focuses on the benefits he receives from belonging to the Lord. One of the problems that Christian people have is that we don't do this. We recognize that God has forgiven us. We recognize his love. We recognize the righteousness of Christ on some level. But our focus is not on the benefits of belonging to Christ. It's on why do the wicked prosper. How many people do you know, and David could have done this, they live in the past. David could have been so focused on the fact that he was the youngest of all these boys, and they all picked on him, and they threw him out in the sheep field, and they ignored him, and they didn't like him, and they all thought he would never amount to anything, that they said things to him, that he could have become bitter. He could have become bitter while Saul tried to kill him and chase him through the wilderness and throw spears at him. And David could have just decided, well, you know, the Lord has never really been that good to me. Hello, King of Israel? Oh, that's nothing. You should have seen it when I almost died. Did you die? Oh, you should have seen how hard it was. Christian people struggle with bitterness. That's wrong. Look at what God has done for you. We can all find stuff about how our lives haven't been perfect. We can all find things that we can complain about. That's easy. God doesn't always do stuff my way. In fact, God rarely does stuff my way. He has never asked me to be an advisor to him. But he's called me to follow him. And he's given me Christ as my Savior. He's forgiven all my sin, all my iniquity. He's given me his righteousness so that I am clothed in the righteousness of Christ. He has demonstrated his mercy to me. And I know his mercies are new to me every morning. And I know that if I wanted to, I could decide to be bitter. Now, do you think that would help me spiritually? I don't think so. Here, David is so focused on what God has done for him. All the issues. And notice, when David gets up from the psalm, whatever his problem was before, it's still there. The problem didn't change. His attitude toward the problem changed. God answers our prayers. God works in our lives. Sometimes he gives us what we want. Sometimes he gives us something better than we want. Sometimes he gives us something different. We follow him. It's the Lord who is our shepherd. And so we follow him, and he gives us eternal life. David really concludes with two small sections, if you will. The first one is the Lord's compassionate love is eternal. Verses 17 to 19. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. We could just spend all day on that. What a great gift and blessing. That his love is forever, it's eternal. to those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. His love is eternal, his kingdom is eternal. We have nothing to fear. David remembers that. He remembers the eternality of God's love and of his kingdom. And David is comforted and encouraged by that. But then notice, too, at the very end, David begins with calling his soul to bless the Lord. And he ends the same way. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The end of verse 22. But notice right before that, verse 20. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David now calls the host of heaven and all those whose faith and trust and confidence is in the Lord, to hope in the Lord. He calls everyone to recognize that we can bless the Lord for who he is and for all that he has done. And I think David gives us a model here, because I'm pretty sure, though I don't read your mail, I'm pretty sure there are going to be times you're going to be discouraged. You might even be discouraged right now. There may be times when you'll feel overwhelmed. There may be times when you'll feel like you don't really know what to do. There will be times when you will wonder, does God really love me? Has God really forgiven me? Or have I really blown it? Here's David, a man after God's own heart. God took him from the sheep pen to be anointed, but to Goliath. To run from Saul and then to become the king. And then to Uriah and Bathsheba. It's too late. No, it's not too late. God forgave David. David knows that the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. And we need to know that too, that there will be times when we will recognize that we have become overwhelmed or discouraged, where we're confused, or we've allowed bitterness to get a hold of us. And David gives us a model to call ourselves back to remember all the benefits of what it means to be in the Lord. Now, in our media, television, fast food society, we don't like to stop. We don't like to think. We don't like to reflect deeply on the benefits of what God has done for us. But you know, I think that's exactly what we have to do. We have to spend time. And this psalm would be a great model for each one of us to use when we are overwhelmed, when we are discouraged. To walk through this psalm with David and to make it personal, to remember all the benefits. Certainly David must have thought specifically of his own sin and how God had forgiven him. He must have thought specifically of the ways he had fallen short of God's perfect standard, and yet that it's the Lord who gives righteousness. He must have thought about the ways maybe he'd even been unmerciful himself, remembering the mercy of God. and remembering his frailty and yet God's constant mercy and love. For us, as we come to the Lord's table, and as we go into this week, the Lord gives us a model to call us back to him and to his word, to remember his mercy and not think that magically spiritual growth is going to happen, but that we, with David, will call our souls to bless the Lord and to forget not all his benefits. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this, your word, and the great privilege that we have to know that what David looked forward to, we look back upon. And yet we look forward to the day when Christ will return. We pray, Father, that you will encourage each one of us as we look to you in faith. And we recognize, Lord, that there are times when there are those who are among us who do not know you as Lord and Savior. We pray that you'll work in their hearts and lives, open them up to the riches of your grace, to see the mercy that you extend to all those who trust in you, to see their need for your forgiveness, to recognize they're alone apart from you. And then use us as your people to encourage them, to challenge them, and to point them to you. Draw them to yourself by the work of your Spirit. But Father, we pray for ourselves as well, as believers, that you will work in our hearts, that you will fill us with courage and with strength, being reminded again and again of your mercy and of your love, that you will give us this as a model that we can come back to you, to bless you, and to praise you for who you are and all you have done, and to remember all the benefits of what it means to belong to you. Father, we pray that you'll be with each one of us regardless of what we struggle with, and that you will remind us of the greatness and the power of your love, and to know that we can find joy and contentment in belonging to you. Work in our hearts. Glorify your name. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.